here to wrap up KER Politics. You know, we were talking with John Huber in the prior segment about the cheerleading that's going on in the country. The headline on Drudge right now, one of the headlines, aside from the ridiculous trial that's going on right now, portrayed to be guilty. But having said that, that's really not something that's critical to the United States, in my opinion. What's really critical to the United States, in my opinion, is what John just went through. John, your daughter came home from a homecoming dance. She knew that she had been exposed to COVID. The whole family was then exposed to COVID with your daughter's situation. And I'm not pointing a finger at all, because I will meet your daughter. I'm sure. But, you know, you guys weren't really quite sure what to do. You contracted it. You're about in your very early 50s right now.
Yeah.
Which is not even close to being a high-risk category, and yet you almost died in the hospital. Let's hear a recap of that, John, and then let's talk about how you're doing today.
You know, basically, you know, you kind of told it in a nutshell. Of course, you know, I'm one of those, you know, healthcare providers that, you know, tend to be, you know, hey, I'm not going, I can handle this, because, you know, I've seen my patients go through worse. And so when I finally did go, I was at death's door, apparently. My doctors told me that, and they told me before they discharged me that they had expected me to leave through the morgue. So
yeah, I remember
that was eye-opening. So I get back and they say, you know, it's probably going to be about 3 months for you to get your lung functioning back. That's what it averages, you know, out to be for most people. And several of my doctor friends are like, okay, here's the research coming out of NYU. Here's the research coming out of here. Let's get you into hyperbarics. So I've been doing hyperbarics daily, except for Sunday. And I didn't schedule today. I don't know why I didn't schedule today, but
As I recall, you went out for a walk. Let's talk about that.
Well, yeah. And so 3 days ago, I went out for a walk, just basically circling my house. And I did that without oxygen. And I had my oxygen monitor on my hand. And I was, you know, my numbers were good. Of course, I was exhausted after that little bitty walk. And then yesterday we went out and we doubled that. So, today we went out this morning in between my business meetings, because I am working from home. And we did a quarter mile around the neighborhood. And I just did a second quarter mile, the same track around the neighborhood. And my numbers are good, and all without oxygen. And right now I'm just needing the oxygen to sleep at night. And in fact, the last couple of nights I pulled it off in my sleep and haven't even used it and woke up fine.
So you're doing good. John, what advice would you give people that were in your situation when your kid came home from the homecoming dance and the whole family knew but didn't really do very much, didn't take any really what I would call aggressive defensive action? Would you do that again, John?
Well, I think it would have been a little different. You know, we, of course, immediately, you know, we gave it 24 hours and then my daughter started feeling bad. We went and had her tested for COVID and she tested positive. And then we just basically started testing everybody in the family. And, you know, as we kind of went through it, and my daughter, my son and my wife, their fevers were pretty low. When I got it, you know, I felt like I had the flu, and then my fever spiked. It went really high. And that's kind of what the doctors were insinuating, that that's kind of what they look for, is a higher temperature,
yeah,
not just a high temperature. And that's kind of, those are the people, that's one of the criteria that even if I'd have come in earlier with that higher temperature, they probably would have admitted me just because of the higher temperature. But I didn't know that, you know, I mean, you know, they're not telling us those kinds of things. And so what I would recommend you do, you get COVID, schedule an appointment with your doctor and go get checked out right then. And then they will tell you what the current guidelines are for when to come back to the hospital, when to go back to the doctor's office, and that kind of stuff. You need to listen to those people. And, you know, I know a lot of them, you know, they're following the CDC stuff. But when it comes down to patient care, you know, you're their patient. And they're responsible for you. So they're going to tell you what they professionally believe is the best thing to get you out and recover through recovery. So that's why you need to go do that.
John, as a PhD psychologist, I know you're not an MD, but what would you recommend that people do? I mean, I have a number of listeners who are talking about various concoctions today. take a lot of vitamin D, take a lot of vitamin C, take a lot of zinc. What about the other two concoctions that are out there?
The ivermectin and the hydrochloric, and I was taking all of those, you know. And maybe that's why I was able to recover so fast when they thought I was on death's door.
The hydrochloric. But,
the ivermectin and the hydrochloric. I have a physician who had, you know, had it scripted for me as a prophylactic. But when I got really sick and said I needed to go see the doctor, I stopped taking everything. I mean, I was just that sick. So,
the hospital. John, do you think you would have gotten better faster if you kept taking the prophylactic medication?
I don't know. Because, you know, the minute they got me in there, they put me on steroids.
Yeah.
And every 3 hours I was getting a new IV bag full of steroids. And they shot me full of heavy-duty vancomycin. You know, they had a PICC line on. And so it was dumping literally, you know, a PICC line goes into your arm, and it just basically dumps all the medication right into your heart so it doesn't destroy any of your veins and arteries and stuff like that. And that, you know, I think that combination on top of my preparation beforehand and the fact that, you know, I never once lost hope during that whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cracking jokes the first day I'm on death's door.
Yeah.
You know, and the doctors are looking at me like, this guy's joking and he's about to die, you know? and I just knew I was going to get out of there, and I kept getting, you know, I had people from 30 years ago who found out I was sick, and they were sending me emails and texts saying, you got this, don't worry about it. You know, just do what the doctors say and you'll be out of there soon. And, you know.
Yeah. John, tell me a little bit about the availability to Mr. and Mrs. Average America of hydrochlorphine and vancomycin. Can you just get it at the drugstore?
Well, I know a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, the main brand ones, are not, you know, they're telling their pharmacists not to give it out for whatever reason. There's other medications that can, whatever, you know. But I recommend you go to your local.
Protect their profits, John.
Right. I recommend that you go to your local pharmacy, your compounding pharmacy, and that's where I get mine from, compounding pharmacists.
So you don't need a prescription to get either vancomycin.
Oh, you do. You do. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know a doctor who'll get them to you, if you go talk to your compounding pharmacist, they'll probably give you a list of 10 or 15 doctors in your area that'll prescribe it for you.
So really, people should be taking those compounds, correct?
You know, I think it's an option. I think, again, each person has to be responsible for their own health care. If they think it's something they should do, they should talk to their doctor about it. Their doctor is probably going to, oh, you don't need to do that. That's a dewormer, all that kind of stuff. Well, I mean, go look at the studies coming out of India that it is, you know, and Joe Rogan cites it all the time. I hate citing the new Johnny Carson of our era, but
yeah.
He does cite it. He used it. The research is out there that it is a general antiviral, not a specific one for for COVID, but it's a general antiviral.
And it does seem to work. The efficacy seems to be pretty high.
Right. And they've actually gone off and prosecuted directors of different regions of their version of the CDC in India for not allowing those to be administered by physicians in India. And the minute they let them open it back up, their death rate drops significantly. Not their infection rate, but their death rate drops significantly. So, you know, I can't tell you if it is or isn't. And, you know, they keep coming up with these new variants and stuff like that. And, you know, how do they know? The only way really to know is to do DNA testing of the virus itself when you get it. And I don't know places that are doing that. So when they say, oh, it's here, it's there, show me the DNA results on that compared to the original COVID. And then I can sit there and have a legitimate conversation with you.
I got you, Big John. John, thank you so much for going back over your situation with COVID, and thank you for your lecture, for lack of better terms, on anger. Certainly appreciate it, sir.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.